everybody, and welcome to episode 117 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by a man who just found out that he did not get into Yale, specifically because he's white, Brian. Brian, how are you this week?
Being safe.
I see that. Do you feel that it's necessary to wear the official Ron and Brian podcast mask while indoors?
My goal is, this is really just a reminder to people that we have a merch store on our website. And if they would like to buy one of these,
they can go right to ronandbrianpodcast.com is what you're saying?
Yeah.
In fact, I'll do you one better, Brian, because we are running a special promotion on our Patreon right now, patreon.com/ the Ron and Brian podcast, where if you sign up for a new subscription or increase your subscription between now and August 16th, we will give you a Ron and Brian face mask for free, along with all the other swag you would get at whatever level you subscribe at. And then one more special announcement. For the next 24 hours, any new subscribers to our Patreon, we are going to match your first month's subscription with a donation to the Biden-Harris 2020 campaign. So really, I can't think of any particular reason why you want to subscribe to the Patreon. It will also give you access to Ron and Brian After Dark, which we obviously do live after this free live broadcast that we do. So, and there's also a special Patreon swag. If you at $25 for 3 months, you get a coffee mug. $35 for 3 months, you get an organic tote bag. And then $50 for 3 months, you get a hoodie. If you shoot the moon and give us $150 for 3 months, you get those three items free at the end of 3 months. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right hand side of the main page, become a patron, join us on the Patreon. Brian?
Ron, that sounds like a win-win-win. The Holy Trinity, if you will. The listener wins.
Right.
You and I win.
True.
And society wins because we will be helping Biden, Harris, and where that money goes, that's really up to them. We don't really control that. So it's quite possible it will go towards, and we'll talk about this later, but it's very possible that that donation money will go to volunteers who are filling out pre-completed ballots for the presidential election. It's one of the things that Biden and Harris are spending a lot of time working on, just getting the right order of those ballots. It's going to be a great time.
I understand.
Great time.
All right. Well, in the meantime, Brian, let's have a drink.
Drink of the week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Slasher.
Drink of the week, drink of the week, drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
No, Ron, what are you drinking
this week? Oh, you're going to start with me this week? Going to mix it up a bit? Yeah. All right. Well, I am drinking Black is Beautiful from Iron Hill Brewing here in Huntington Valley, PA. Are you familiar with the Black is Beautiful brewing campaign, Brian?
I am not. Can you educate me?
I can. This was started by Weathered Souls Brewing in, I believe, San Antonio, Texas. They have enlisted the help of brewers around the world to brew their own version of this beer, with the only caveat being, you know, they wanted to raise funds for, you know, anti-police brutality, bail funds, things of that nature. As of right now, there are 1,102 breweries participating in all 50 states and 20 countries around the world. This particular version, like I said, from Iron Hill Brewing, their proceeds are going to benefit the Urban League of Philadelphia. This is an Imperial Stout, clocking in at 10%. Nice-looking stout.
Ooh.
Right there. I've actually had one of these before, so I'm just going to...
That looks like the kind of beer that's going to put hair on your chest, as my father would say.
So good.
Looks dark, silky, smooth.
I would encourage all of our listeners out there, if you do have a brewery near you that is participating, check it out. There a lot has already been released, more to come, but you can always go to blackisbeautiful.beer to find out more. Brian?
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. What do you have?
I decided to support a local brewer, one that I have very fond memories and affection for, Coney Island.
Great
brewer. The Coney Island Mermaid Pilsner. That is the beer I'm going with. I wanted something crisp, not too heavy, because I plan on having about three of these tonight. So I wanted to slowly work up there. Ron, you and I were in the brewery ourselves not that long ago. Still during the quarantine, the lockdown, if you would, we did some damage with your better half.
We drank a lot of beer out on the sidewalk, ate a few Nathan's hot dogs. It was a good day, no doubt about it.
It was glorious. It was one of those few times where not only do you get to spend great time with friends, you also get to have great food, great beverage. And you burn the back of your calves.
That too. Before we give out any more free plugs, I have to throw it over to you, Brian. Again, I'm sorry. We were a little busy to get together and discuss this during the week. Who is the sponsor that you have lined up for this week's podcast?
Okay. What we have here this week is somebody special. An A-list. I really shot the moon this week.
Okay.
I know we've had some bad luck over the last couple of weeks. There was the UConn football team who had just canceled their football season. What was the other one? I forgot. I blacked it out. It was so horrifying to me. But this week, I really wanted to impress you. So first off, it's a law firm. It's not a malpractice. When I reached out to a bunch of legal firms, they all said to me, if you're looking for sponsorships from a legal firm, go for malpractice. There was asbestos, construction accidents, car accidents, workers' comp lawyers. I said, no, I don't want any of this. If we're not going to do this right, we're not doing it all. Right. And I sat there and I said, you know what? There has been a movement. You know, there are people protesting in the streets. And I thought to myself, how can we help them? So I sat there and I went out and I targeted defense attorneys.
Okay.
Because I sat there and said, I want to get the word out to the protesters, the people out there chanting Black Lives Matter, the people that are out there in Portland that are pushing back against the Department of Homeland Security thugs that decided to invade their...
Don't keep me in suspense like this. Let me know. Who did you bring to the table this week?
Are you sitting down? I've got the sponsor
obviously,
right here.
Obviously.
The Law Office of Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz. I know. You can't believe I got him. He is out there defending the innocent.
I'm going to stop you right there. And we're just going to go to this week in racism. See what you made me do.
Racism.
Water all over
the
place.
Racism.
Well, anyway, we will hopefully have better luck next week in getting a sponsor.
What was wrong with Alan Dershowitz?
Well, I don't even know where to start, but we'll talk after the show. So anyway, another full page of racism yet again, just at all different levels of society. So this is in Leelanau County, Michigan. Road Commissioner Tom Eckerly, he was at a road meeting, I guess, and he was asked by another commissioner why he wasn't wearing a mask, and he responded by saying, quote, well, this whole thing is because of those N-words down in Detroit. When asked why he would say that, he said, I can say anything I want. Black Lives Matter has everything to do with taking the country away from us. Interesting. After initially saying that he wasn't going to resign because he's gotten more support than criticism, he announced this week that he will be submitting his resignation on Monday.
Good.
Going to the baseball field, I think a lot of people saw this. Oakland A's bench coach Ryan Christensen came under fire when he appeared to give a Nazi salute before elbow bumping players after a win against the Rangers. Both Christensen and the A's organization have apologized for the incident. Going out to Santa Clarita, California. We got a few stories here on the West Coast. We're starting with Santa Clarita. LA County Sheriff's deputies have been called to respond to an incident involving a homeless man pulling a knife on a group of black teenagers. Upon arriving, the deputies pulled their guns on the teenagers, despite onlookers telling them that it was the teens who needed help. Two of the teens were then arrested for unknown reasons, but later are released without being charged. LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva has said the incident will be investigated.
I hope so.
Prior to the sheriff's being cleared, I'm sure. In Highland, California, a black man picking up his kids from daycare was verbally assaulted by a white woman, claiming that he was parking in her spot. She was captured on video calling him the N-word and then eventually called the police on him over the parking situation. When questioned about her use of the N-word, she said, quote, "I've got a constitutional right to free speech. I'm an American and I'm proud of it. I don't have to leave America to go to Africa like you guys have to leave Africa to come to America."
Great stuff. What kind of that's not even logic.
I know. And then out in Concord, California, a three-year-old sidewalk chalk drawings for Black Lives Matter was repeatedly vandalized by a cyclist pouring water over the word black in the drawings. After the third time this happened, the child's mother, Manette Sharik, eventually ended up catching the man on video. When interviewed by local news, the man stated, quote, "I was only pouring across the word black because I believe that all lives matter." Before using the age-old mantra, "I'm not a racist." On the plus side, though, the girl's neighborhood is now filled with chalk drawings supporting Black Lives Matter, as all of her neighbors have come out to support her. And before we wrap up here on Racism we have a Racism Rewind.
Rewind.
I love the rewind.
You might remember Alabama State Representative Will Dismukes. He was covered 2 weeks ago. He had attended a birthday celebration for an early KKK leader. I believe it was Nathaniel Forrest Bedford. He now has been charged with felony theft. Prosecutors allege that Dismukes stole money from a flooring company he worked for from 2016 to 2018. While the Class B felony that he's been charged with means that he's, it just states that he's been accused of stealing more than $2,500. The district attorney told reporters, quote, "The alleged amount is much more than that." So he just seems like a great guy. So he's turned himself in. He's been arrested. He is still after going to the KKK birthday celebration, after being arrested for a Class B felony, still has not resigned his position in as an Alabama state representative.
That's because he's proud to hang out with KKK members, and he's proud to have stolen money and get away with it.
Apparently. Nothing feels better than crumbling up all that racism at the end of the bit.
Have you thought of just setting it ablaze?
I don't want to set off the smoke detector in here while we're doing the show. It's bad enough that I just got water all over the place.
But I have a better idea. Why don't you set it on fire and then I do an advertisement for Alan Dershowitz and then the spit will, the water will actually put out the fire.
I will, I'll keep that in mind for next time. In the meantime, what's bothering us this week?
Ron Bryan's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what's bothering you?
The Sturgis bike rally.
Oh.
Took place last week, this weekend, whenever the fuck it happened. I don't know. I don't really pay much attention. I just know that the expected crowd of 250,000 people.
It was a big number.
Showing up to South Dakota during a pandemic, riding their motorcycles, showing off their motorcycles, attending a Smash Mouth concert where there was no social distancing. That was something that was very concerning to me. And then I found out earlier today that one of my coworkers attended it.
Oh, really? They went all the way from New York City out to Sturgis.
And I'm so fucking livid at the concept of it.
Are they coming into the office?
They now have to quarantine for 2 weeks because New York State just added South Dakota yesterday. Coincidence? I think not. I think it's about 30, 39 states at this point, where if you travel to, you are required to avoid any movements amongst society for 2 weeks while we wait out to see if you have caught the coronavirus out there. And it just bothers me. I get people in Idaho sitting there being, yeehaw, let's yeet on our way over to South Dakota so we can show off our Harleys. I don't agree with it, but I get it. But somebody from New York who understands what we fucking went through back in March and April. I mean, did he not watch the news? Was he unaware of the forklifts that were coming out of hospitals because the morgues were filled and the forklifts were literally taking body bags with corpses into refrigerated trucks? Like, did he not? Has he forgotten that?
Listen, people's memories are very short. A lot of people feel that the pandemic is, you know, over and done with, and their life can just go back to normal.
But it's not. We had 1,400 people die yesterday of coronavirus. The numbers are an all-time high after the original crush from the Northeast.
No, people, we had over 2,000 the other day, our highest day since May.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
2,000?
Yeah.
How did I miss that number?
I don't know. You were probably too busy looking at your plasma results, patting yourself on the back for having the antibodies.
I fucking love doing that, I swear. And I know I'm an asshole. I get it. I genuinely understand it. But it brings me so much pleasure to, and I'm going to speak amongst this group, the people that are listening right now, because I feel like you're in on the joke and we can speak honestly.
Okay.
But I love going on Facebook and posting how I'm a hero because I donated blood or because I have the COVID antibodies. Keep in mind, there's like hundreds of thousands of Americans that have already survived this disease. You know, some obviously went through a much more traumatic experience than I did, and some people were completely asymptomatic. But I love posting on social media about how I donated blood or I'm giving my convalescent plasma, because within these arms, within this space,
veins.
The veins that are flowing through my body, taking blood away from the heart and bringing it right back, the COVID-19 antibodies are flowing within this body. Anyway, I love watching people who are not really, I want to say close, because instead of the smart ass sarcastic responses that my friends get and start posting, it's like you'll see somebody out of nowhere being like, good for you.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Proud
of reassurance. Oh, and they don't realize that's the worst possible thing, and they're just validating you.
And they're making sure I'm gonna do it again in a couple days or whatever. Oh, it's so much fun.
All right. My turn.
What's bothering you? And let me guess. Can I guess?
You can try and guess. I doubt very highly you'll guess this week.
All right. You ordered some seasonings online because you were having trouble getting them locally.
Nope. Nothing like that. I guarantee you will not. You will not guess my beef this week. My beef this week, Brian, and it may seem unusual, so go with me here for a moment. My beef this week is with my penis. And I'm going to tell you exactly why that is.
Wait a second. We saved this stuff for the After Dark episode.
I'll throw it in on the free show right now. So I, on Facebook, have a few friends on there that I was, let's say, involved with previously. And okay. So I can see, you know, what they're doing in their lives now. And one of these women in the past week posted about Bill Gates wanting to microchip us. To go through a cash-free society so that if you don't follow Bill Gates's rules, he'll just shut off your cash. Posted a video about these LOL dolls, which apparently if you put them in ice water, this woman shot this video, if you strip them down naked and put them into ice water, like they come up to have like bra, panties, stuff like that. But it's so clearly like just marker that's been drawn, like this woman just drew this
okay.
active marker on, but like, and just so, and again, I'm like, you were with this woman and it was years ago, but it's again, and I think back and I'm like, why did my penis make me do such stupid things in my 20s and 30s? And again, I can't go back and change it now, And he's matured, much like I've matured over the years. But just seeing that, just, I mean, don't you see someone online and you've been with that person, whether in a relationship or intimately or whatnot, and they're just posting the most whacked out crap out there. And you're just like, what was I thinking?
This no, Ron, was, I think your body counts way high. Your body counts way higher than mine. So you have that exposure. I do have the, looking back and looking at my ex-wives being like, I can't believe I did that.
That's true. I stopped at like the girlfriend or hookup level. You took it to the full legal married. So kudos, yes. I guess, on that.
I'm not afraid of commitment. but the other thing I'll also say is that you're better maintaining communication with exes than I am. I usually like, and also I will say that my relationships usually flame out spectacularly to the point where it's actually harmful to maintain lines of communication.
Well, whereas I think your angle seems to be to not break up, but instead to harbor what's the word I'm looking for? Like discord within the relationship intentionally, to the point that the person just dislikes you so much that they end up being the one taking care of the breaking up.
Fuck. Why are we getting deep this early? Like we're talking beef of the week and now you're psychoanalyzing me and you're fucking spot on. I mean, it literally goes to my avoidance of confrontation.
But I was the same way. So I'm still amazed that some of these people would still want to talk to me out there.
So how did you conquer that?
How did I conquer what?
Your penis.
You know what? You get older and you find yourself a good woman and you settle down. That's what you do.
Well, I'm looking.
Speaking of finding a good woman, we'll give a little promotion for next week's show. It's going to be our dating show. We are going to have on Zach Schlein. He is the founder of an app called Filter Off. It's a new dating app. So he will be on the broadcast next week for an interview. So obviously make sure you check out that. We'll discuss Brian's dating in a post-COVID New York City. It'll be an interesting episode.
And I created a profile on this app. I'm going to try it out. I don't have high hopes. But I think it's going to be interesting to give it a shot. And then we're going to compare when he's on there to see exactly what it is that I'm doing right, wrong. But ultimately, it's probably going to be things that I'm doing wrong simply because I bring out people wanting to abuse me verbally.
Well, I mean, one of the people they matched you with have my approval and my wife's approval already. So I would say you set up a video date there and go with it.
I already sent her a topless picture when I was fishing upstate about 7 years ago.
All right.
I'm sure that's going to work out very well.
Chicks dig your upper body development. No doubt about it. So big news this week, obviously. I mean, a lot of news, but let's get right into it. Joe Biden finally announcing his vice presidential pick. Somewhat of a surprise. People thought that she would not be in the running. Because she absolutely torched him during the debates. But Kamala Harris is now on the ticket. A lot of excitement. You know, people were saying that, you know, he was going to need to go with a woman, more than likely a woman of color. And he did so. She becomes the first African-American and Indian-American vice presidential candidate. Were you surprised by the announcement?
No, I thought that she was the obvious choice the whole entire time.
Okay.
He said a while ago that he was going to pick a woman, so that immediately narrowed it down. Once George Floyd's death sparking up the Black Lives Matter movement, I thought he had to go.
They murder.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to take that one. That was a fucking murder. You are absolutely correct. George Floyd was murdered. And also we need to arrest the police who killed Breonna Taylor.
That too.
They're still out there. Fuck those guys. Where was I? Oh yeah. So once Black Lives Matter popped off, earlier in the summer, I mean, he had to go with a minority. There was no way that he was going to put up an Elizabeth Warren.
No, but I mean, I think people were a bit worried because he was looking at Amy Klobuchar, supposedly Gretchen, is it Whitmer, the governor of one of those.
There's only one woman that he looked at that I thought was a real potential, and that was Tulsi Gabbard.
I know you're very disappointed that your gal Tulsi isn't on the candidacy anywhere. I thought he was going to go Susan Rice, so I was a little bit surprised. I was also a little bit surprised that he just kind of dropped it out there because it was this big, you know, this big buildup, and you would have thought he'd be like, "Oh, we're going to announce it, you know, tomorrow at such and such time." And then I was just like, "You know what? Here's my pick, Kamala Harris."
I also feel like he waited too long. Like it felt like it was starting to enter a territory of why is this taking so long? What's going on?
But, you know, did he perhaps time it so that it was close to the start of the Democratic National Convention next week?
Perhaps. Why did it need to be?
I don't know.
I mean, I will say this is having watched the Democratic primaries and watching Harris up there, the kid's got some spark. And I am looking forward to her taking on Mike Pence. I saw somebody, there was a tweet that someone published how because of COVID, there's going to be as few people in that room as possible. So it's going to be Mike Pence with a woman of color, and she is going to just rip him apart.
I mean, as someone, you know, commented on Twitter also, you know, she basically made Brett Kavanaugh cry during his confirmation hearings. And she is going to get him up there. And I personally, I think the vice presidential debate is now scheduled for October. I think they're only doing one of them. But I am very much looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
It's going to be very entertaining because I don't believe she's going to pull any punches with him. I feel like this year, the Democrats are literally, will not hold back in any way, shape, or form. It will be cutthroat. It will be dirty, just wonderfully nasty. My only fear is that Biden cannot hold up that level of attack.
But does he need to?
Yes.
No, I mean, given that this will not be, like, I understand your point, but given the constant the state of our country, he's not going to need to do probably the number of rallies, appearances, all of that he normally would do. So I think this actually suits him well.
No, but if you remember correctly, Trump did very well in the debates against Hillary.
He did.
And we all sat there and we said, oh, this guy doesn't stand a chance. But I remember watching those debates and I remember way more often saying, he's got her on that one. He got her on that one. Good one. That was a good one. Remember the one where he was like kind of like stalking the stage like a caged tiger? Now he won't do that because now he won't be able to do that because he is the way he stands, because he wears the adult diapers filled with shit that will be loading up due to his what is it? Addiction to Adderall, I believe, is what I've heard on the internet.
Allegedly.
I don't know. The man wears diapers and shits his pants.
People are saying.
And nobody had ever heard before that Donald Trump shits his pants into adult diapers, and that's what he wears all day long. Nobody had ever heard that before.
Here's a very good point from listener Billy. Two of the presidents scheduled for Thursday, live Ron and Brian coverage. Fuck yeah. Live broadcast the debates. I just don't see how that doesn't happen.
Oh, that's beautiful. Once again, third week in a row, Mass Sanity gets onto the podcast with insightful comments.
So back to Kamala Harris. Thoughts on this new birther theory that's been kicking around now, thanks to John Eastman. You know, misinterpreting basically the 14th Amendment.
Let me know who John Eastman is? Can you reference the allegations, and can you explain the 14th Amendment?
So John Eastman is a lawyer. He is a conservative. He wrote an op-ed, I believe, for the Times this week, you know, stating like, you know, the language of the 14th Amendment reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. He is, again, trying to imply that Kamala Harris was not born here and therefore is not eligible to be vice president.
Where was she born?
No, she was born here.
They're not doing this shit again.
They are doing this shit. And somebody, and God, the thing that fucking infuriates me now about these Trump press conferences is you have these schmucks from like OAN and things like that that just tee up these questions and teed up, you know, this respected conservative lawyer mentioned that Kamala Harris might not be eligible to be vice president. And of course, Trump having the chance to refute that, just again, he's got another birther theory that he can dry hump for the next few months. And he was all over that bullshit.
Fucking hell. We are going to have some rough couple months.
Oh, yeah.
What are we? What are we, about 2.5 months away? This is going to be ugly. This is going to get so fucking ugly. And don't get me wrong, as somebody who is entertained by a shit show, I'm going to fucking love watching it. It's going to keep me entertained. but goddamn, the last thing we need right now is acrimony in this country. It's going to be terrible. We have a guy in the White House who refuses anything that's bad or doesn't fit within his very narrow world. He's surrounded by psychophants who only spoon feed him pieces of data that he likes. This is gonna be bad. What I did like, and you and I talked about it this week, is how it is now openly acknowledged amongst the world that Russia is now interfering as much as they can for Trump. Meanwhile, you have China, who is interfering as much as they can for Biden.
China.
And Iran of all people,
yeah,
are sitting there. They're now trying to get involved because they want Trump out just as much as you and I do. So for the first time in as long as I can remember, I'm sitting here thinking about sending an email to the Ayatollah saying, hey, I'm here. How can I help? Like, let me know. Like, what can we do here?
Well,
because the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes. And we discussed earlier this week, you know, it's all going to depend on who's got the better hackers, who's got the better internet manipulators. Russia obviously has the.
They're good.
They got involved in 2016. China, though, invented the computer, I believe, pretty much. So,
and small then, hands. Again, small they had hands. The small hands, yeah.
But I'm sure they manufactured small keyboards as well. So it kind of offsets.
Speaking of manufacturing, what are your thoughts about the Russian COVID vaccine? I mean, I'm a little disappointed it took you 33 minutes into this episode to acknowledge that after about 9 months of this plague ravaging this earth, slaughtering hundreds of thousands, sickening me, despite the fact that my immune system is so fucking strong, that we sent that coronavirus back. We said, get the fuck out of here. So hence, I have the antibodies going through my... Yes,
we're aware.
But Russia, of all... And we didn't think Russia was going to do it, announced this week that they have successfully tested a COVID-19 virus vaccine, and they are going to start... selling it amongst the world. We are the long national and global nightmare is over.
Listen, I would love to believe that that Russia has come up with a vaccine, but like a lot of medical professionals out there that have already said they would not take the Russian vaccine, they do not feel that it has probably been tested to the extent that you would want it to be to feel comfortable having this vaccine in your body.
But you don't think, but Putin said that he gave it to his daughter, like that his daughter got the shot. So and she's well, health.
Which how does he look at his? How does his daughter rate with Putin? Is this an Ivanka or is this a Tiffany?
If she dies, she dies.
Because if it's Putin's Tiffany, he's probably been using her as a drug testing mule for years now.
Have you seen Tiffany? I think she's been drug tested quite a bit.
Speaking of our boy, Donald, he was on Fox Sports News earlier this week.
A bizarre place for him to be interviewed.
Listen, if it's got Fox on it and they'll put him on, I mean, he loves the coverage.
Loves it.
But he was asked about Hong Kong, and you have to listen. I want people to listen to this. It's about a minute and a half. I want people to listen to Donald Trump's response to a question about Hong Kong, and you tell me if this man is in his right mind or not.
Well, look, for years, Hong Kong was making a lot of money that we could have been making in the New York Stock Exchange and our great exchanges. You know, we have the biggest exchanges. We have the great dollar, which I've made stronger, much stronger than it used to be. I hope people recognize that in the world of sports. Our country is in good shape, and we're coming back so strong. It's incredible when you look at the numbers that we're producing and putting up. We're coming back very strong. And we save millions and millions of lives by closing down and restarting. But I will say that with Hong Kong, we gave tremendous incentives and cost us a fortune to keep Hong Kong viable and going. And now what we've done, I've ended everything. I've ended all of that. There is no incentive whatsoever. We're not sending money through incentives back to Hong Kong. We're going to make a lot more money because they're not going to be competitive. It won't be a competitive market. Can't be with the government running it. So they're going to have a different kind of a deal. And we're not participating from the standpoint of we're not spending, you know, billions of dollars on making life.
What a fucking nut job. I'm sorry. Fucking nut job.
We've got the biggest exchanges.
Who cares? Somebody asked him about the American efforts to defend Hong Kong against the Chinese incursion, which is rapidly way ahead of the time frame for when they were supposed to take care of Hong Kong, which I believe is not supposed to be for another 50 years.
Right.
Yet they are now arresting anti-Chinese media. They've already taken to the streets. They're already. What do they call that when they ship people overseas?
Deport them?
Yes, that was the word. They're already sending Hong Kong criminals to China. And his go-to is to talk about our stock exchanges.
Moron. Huge. It's so big. We're in the worst economy. Biggest GDP drop in history.
Look at the numbers. If you look at the numbers, are super beautiful. The numbers are great.
He said the quiet part out loud today, where he basically admitted that he does not want to fund the United States Postal Service in an attempt to hamper voting by mail. He basically said, I don't want these millions and millions of mail-in votes to be handled, a majority of which, to be perfectly honest, are from our American military.
But he never cared about the military.
Right.
Doesn't care. What I was going to say is this. I give him credit for speaking his truth.
Oh, yeah.
Most politicians would be smart enough to talk about how ineffective our postal system is, how they've given away billions of dollars to Amazon by these sweetheart deals to deliver packages for Amazon, how they're, they're an outdated and, form of delivery of information. They've lost, speed to, email and whatnot. Had he sat there, I would have just said, you know what? The dude's got a fucking point. You know, like the postal service, they're antiquated. If I send a package, it's a couple times a year. But this guy actually had the stupidity to get up there and just say, oh yeah, I don't want to fund the post office because if we do, then the Democrats are going to get votes. And here's where he's a fucking moron, is that statistically, oh yeah, you can see I'm worked up. Is that, and by the way, when I say worked up, I looked at my empty shot glass and my empty beer. So we know that we're going to have a great after dark in about 40 minutes. If you're not a subscriber right now, go to patreon.com, Ron Bryan Podcast. Sign up for the bronze level?
Bronze or higher, and you can get access to After Dark Live. And like we mentioned earlier, any new subscribers in the next 24 hours, we will match your first month subscription with a donation to the Biden-Harris campaign.
Absolutely. So there's absolutely no reason why you should not sign up in the next 24 hours for our Patreon. Help defend America and democracy against the Cheeto Man.
So can I just make a few quick points about the Postal Service?
Make all your points.
So a few things. Number one, the reason that the Postal Service is in such the dilemma that it has been these last few years is a law that Republicans pushed through a few years back, which requires the Postal Service to fully fund all employee pensions for 50 years.
Run that by me again.
All employee pensions need to be funded in full for 50 years.
What does that mean?
That it's unprecedented. Like normally companies pay into pensions on a progressive level. So someone starts today in the Postal Service, the Postal Service needs to fully fund that individual's potential pension for the next 50 years.
Why? Because
the one big prize to be able to privatize is the Postal Service. If the Postal Service goes away,
it can be
something that someone can monetize.
Fucking Republicans, I swear to God.
The other part you have to keep in mind is that the Postal Service is just that. It is a service. It is not a company. So you can't look at it from a profit and loss perspective. That would be like
we've sent a lot of money. We have great numbers. The Postal Service, they're losers. They keep losing.
But it is a service, and there is money that is put into providing this service. We don't say that the military loses $475 million.
No.
We say that they're funded. The Postal Service is funded. There are, and if you look at the cost between sending a letter or a package from the Postal Service versus UPS,
FedEx,
or DHL, much less. Post office delivers to rural locations. FedEx and UPS do not do that. And also, Trump likes to talk about how Amazon gets like supposedly a sweetheart deal from the Postal Service. They don't. There are prices that are set up by the same law that required this 50-year pension funding. So by law, the Postal Service can't cut anybody a deal. The pricing is set by this law. So even if the Postal Service wanted to raise their prices to cut into the cost of running their service, they're not allowed to do that by law.
I am so fucking depressed right now.
Anyway, point being is, like, if you're in a major city, then maybe you don't think as much about the post office. But if you are in a deep suburb or a very rural area, that is your lone delivery service. Think about how many deliveries you get that start with UPS or FedEx and then get handed off
to
Postal Service to go the last legs.
But if I'm sending something to somebody, I'm going to the post office.
Right.
I'm putting it in the mail. If I'm going to mail you a package containing sex toys and face masks,
right,
I'm not going to FedEx for that. I'm walking down to my local post office and I'm buying a book of stamps that I don't need just because I want to show support. And then I'm paying the postage for my box.
Listen, and we had a Patreon subscriber recently upped her subscription level. Thank you for that. And so for that additional swag, I was able to put that in a box and print out a priority mail for about $15 or $16 less than it would have cost if I needed to send it UPS or FedEx.
Support the post office, people.
And the guy the post office that Trump made Postmaster General is heavily invested in companies that directly compete with the U.S. Postal Service. So, listen.
Can I just say something?
You can, of course. You have 49% of this podcast. Say whatever you like.
Fuck you. This is actually more depressing to me than racist of the week.
It's getting there.
What we have done to the Postal Service, especially the decline over the past during this administration, is more depressing to me than listening to minorities being treated like garbage by entitled white trash. And normally that is the most depressing part of the episode for me. Normally it's like I sit there and I just listen to literally each story being like, well, okay, I hope this is the last one. Well, that maybe this is the worst story, and it keeps getting worse because it's just the way it is. But this post office thing has so fucking depressing to me.
Well, and what is even more aggravating is there are laws in place to prevent exactly what is happening to the post office right now. You know, what Donald Trump is saying, keeping funding from them is illegal. What the Postmaster General is doing is illegal. And what is amazing to me is, again, the GOP turns a blind eye to the rule of law.
Of course, they are the law. They see themselves as the law.
Right, but it's ridiculous. And if you are a conservative, if you are a GOP supporter, I don't know how you can get behind the continuous breaking of laws at a federal level from someone who is supposed to clean up the swamp. You know,
because they're the law. They're the law. They get to make the law. They get to make the rules. And because of that, they don't see it as they need to follow the law. They need to say, okay, what's the law here? It's okay, well, how do we get the law to work for what we want? Because their priority is what they want, not what is the right thing or what is the legal thing. How many fucking laws has Trump put out there that has or initiatives or executive orders that have been knocked down by the judiciary? I was about to say the jury, but that's not right. By the judiciary.
I'm getting my additional $400. And that was another thing. Like, so the executive order that he signed to provide the $400 a week additional unemployment benefit. The caveat to that was the federal government would provide $300. The states would have to provide $100. Well, the states aren't even in a position to provide that $100. And on top of that, in his executive order, it stated that the states could not deliver that benefit through the existing systems they have to provide unemployment benefits.
Why?
Because he never wanted people to get the benefit. He just wants people to think that he's trying to get them the benefit.
It's a piece of shit, I swear to God.
But he is expecting states who don't have the cash to afford the $100 per person that they would need to contribute to all of a sudden now implement an entirely different computer system from their existing unemployment benefit system just to be able to get this money to people that they don't have. It was showmanship, plain and simple. Never intended to help the American people in any way, shape, or form, because now he can say, hey, I signed an executive order. Your governors couldn't help you out. Your state couldn't take care of you. And now Congress is recessed until September with no relief out there for Americans. Like, I saw Forbes put out an article today. They were like, oh, new unemployment claims were under 1 million this week, but they were still
under 1 million. There's under, and those are new unemployment claims. That means that there's about like less than 1 million more people than last week that are unemployed.
That's like Mike Pence said, oh, we created more jobs in the last 3 months than, you know, Obama and Biden in 8 years. Well, that's because you lost
all of them.
Many. Like, someone made the good point, like, yeah, you know, the Titanic lifeboats saved more people than any other boat that didn't sink.
I'm so fucking depressed right now listening to this shit because you know what's coming right after this.
Well, I mean,
No. What's after this is you and I are going to talk about what are we watching? And that's going to be really uplifting.
I don't think we can get into what we're watching. I don't think so. It's too depressing.
Everybody, Immigration Nation on Netflix.
Jesus fucking Christ. You brought it up.
I have to.
Okay.
I have to.
We are both watching Immigration Nation on Netflix. It is a 6-episode docuseries. A film crew was given, unprecedented access to ICE, to their operations. I will tell you, my wife and I watched the first episode. She made it to 42 minutes in the episode where it was too much for her to see the children crying, to see the parents crying that were separated from their children, to see the illegal activities of the ICE agents right in front of cameras that they knew were there, lying about warrants, getting word from their superiors to bring people in that they knew weren't guilty of anything.
Oh, no, they're guilty. And this is where I've got conflicted feelings about this show.
But the collateral people aren't necessarily guilty. They're just bringing in someone because...
No, Ron, they're guilty. American. They're guilty of being here illegally. That's the crime. The crime is that they are here outside the law. They're not innocent. They are guilty of something.
Well, no,
they're not violent criminals. They're not violent criminals. They're not people that are sit out there endangering the welfare of the rest of American society. But according to the letter of the law, they are not allowed to be here.
I need to correct you on just what, yes, they are getting people that they don't have warrants for, but they are also bringing in people that are here on visas that shouldn't be arrested.
Oh, that's really? I missed that point.
In that collateral. Yes, some of the collateral are people that are here.
But aren't they letting those people go afterwards if they're here on visas?
But, let me ask you this. If you were arrested and then 5 days later you were let out of jail, how would your job handle it?
Oh, I wouldn't have a job.
Exactly. So here you've got people that are here illegally on a visa that get arrested and can't go to work for a week. And then once it gets straightened out, they get released. But what's happened to their job? What's happened to their family? What's happened to their lives since then?
They're gone. What bothers me is this, is that you are, it's a couple things. What bothers me, because I genuinely do see, if you're here illegally and you get caught up in the system, you're going to get sent back. I get it.
Right.
Okay. What I don't understand is that the way the system is currently set up, you are detained for a period of months because of a administrative backlog of your cases. So that in essence, we catch you, you're here illegally. They're taking fingerprints immediately. Why are we locking these people up for months on end? So that they can go. And this was the thing that blew my mind because I did not realize it, is that immigration judges are not part of the judiciary. They are part of the Department of Justice, so that their boss is the Attorney General, who is also the boss of the Department of Homeland Security, who is picking these people up. They have absolutely no tenure in terms of their job, so that they have to meet some type of quota or numbers or whatnot.
Well, they have
sending people back.
They have a dashboard on their computer. If you are an immigration judge, you log onto your computer at the beginning of the day, there is a dashboard with little speedometers on there, red, yellow, green. If you're not handling enough cases, if you're not deporting enough people, if you are not, if you're not turning down, stays of execution, you get fired. You get reprimanded.
So why are we going through this fucking charade of, oh, you have to wait until you get in front of a judge when it's not a legal matter? Just why don't we just capture these people and send them back to their home countries? It's the detaining part that bothers me so fucking much, because that's where it's inhumane, is that you're taking somebody and you're putting them in essence, a jail, which also, and this is where I'm on a fucking rant, is privately run. It's privately run. It's not run by the Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland Security literally has 5 detention centers in all of America, but there's over, I think they said there's about 100 privately run DHC, DHS detention centers where they're making money off these people every day on not only just what they're billing the government for housing these people, but they're charging them for food. They're charging, you know, the astronomical amounts that they're charging for a phone call when you're locked up. Oh, yeah. And the last thing you have is just maybe the ability to call a family member and hear a familiar voice. And they're charging these people like $20 a minute. It's such disgusting bullshit. That's the part that bothers me. And going back to the kids, you mentioned earlier your wife gave up on it when they started showing the kids being detained. Why are we locking these kids up? Send them back to where, like, if they're here illegally, send them back. There's absolutely, how in any way can we sit there and say we are a great country when we are locking up children?
We have immigration agents telling these kids, "Are you never going to see your parents again?"
Oh, it's fucking terrible. There
were kids in the documentary that were telling their parents, "I was told I would never see you again."
Oh, this episode is so depressing. And one of the
immigration agents, you know, he even said, he's like, we were not, he's like, under the Obama administration, and Obama deported a shit ton of people. So
he was not Jesus.
Right. But
he was not Black Jesus. Kanye West is Black Jesus.
the immigration agent admitted, like, we were not equipped to handle things under the Obama administration, and we were just focusing on violent criminals here illegally. When Donald Trump signed his executive order going after everybody, like most things of this administration, it was never thought out. It was never planned. He's like, we never had the resources, the people, the places to put them to handle this influx of people that we were going to have coming in. But it's the disregard of laws. Like right off the bat, in the first episode, this guy's going to an apartment. He's like, I've got a warrant for this person in there, and the ICE agent says, "Oh, I don't need to show you that warrant."
Craig, he doesn't. He's not required to.
They're not 100% required to show a warrant to be able to enter a residence.
Really?
Period. End of story.
I thought you're dealing with an American citizen, you have to show a warrant.
Because you don't know. You're still under the laws of this country. You don't know if that person inside, you are not judge, you are not jury, you are not executioner, you are an officer of the law, and you do not know. Just like if you're going to arrest somebody that is charged with murder, you don't know if they actually did it, but you have an arrest warrant for that, and you have to present that warrant to be able to go into someone's home and take them out of it. And the same thing with an illegal immigrant, regardless of the fact that they're here illegally, you don't have to let that ICE agent in. And for that ICE agent to have said, "I don't need to show you that warrant," a lie against the law. And the same agent was driving around when he gets a call over the radio, and his superior says, "Oh yeah, pick people up. You need to bring two people back regardless.
Don't come back empty handed.
And the agent even turned to the camera. He was like, did he know you guys were riding with me today? Because that was a real fucking stupid thing to say.
Yeah. I had a good line yesterday at work. I was talking to a coworker of mine. I was out at I was out in the field, and the coworker had Donald Trump's signs at his desk, and he was eating breakfast, and somehow conversation got to illegal immigration, and it had nothing to do with this show. We were just talking in general, and he was talking about how, you know, we need to send all these people back. We need to, it should be Americans for Americans. And this guy's eating his breakfast sandwich. And I was just like, I said, where do you live? And he's like, he lives in like the Jersey suburbs. I was like, okay. I said, I live in Queens. I said, Queens is one of the most diverse areas in this country. I said, it's got people from every different area. I was just like, you want to get rid of all the immigrants. I said, who do you think made that breakfast sandwich you're eating right now? Literally as the guy took a bite. And he just kind of stared at me, and I'm like, do you think somebody who was born in Long Island and went to high school and, you know, went to 3 years of college but decided to quit and so that they could, sign up to work in a bodega in Upper Manhattan and make great bacon, egg, and cheeses?
Yeah.
I just said, and he just looked at me, and I wasn't ranting. I wasn't being inappropriate or anything.
But it was just the idea of just like, to make the bagel? Who picked the eggs to make, who milked the cows to get dairy?
it boggles my mind. And it maybe it is because I live in such a I live in New York City. It is incredibly diverse. You see, there are immigrants all over the place, and you don't know who's here legally or illegally. And at the end of the day, to me, it's what are you offering society? I know that when I go and get a sandwich at the local deli, the person behind the counter may or may not. But you want to know something? That dude behind the counter, from what I see, works harder than I do.
Oh yeah,
those guys are on their feet. They're managing five different orders at a given time. Not now, because Manhattan is a dying town, and there's absolutely no chance of anything more than like three customers at any given time. But it's just the fact that like the Republicans and the people who think like that, they literally sit there and think that these illegal immigrants are like others. They're like this other group of people. And it's like, no, you interact with them on a daily basis. You appreciate the advantage of having their services being made available to you. But because you just want to sit there and be a racist prick and treat these people like they're less than you, it's like it's so fucking offensive to me.
You look at how high unemployment rates are in this country, and people still aren't rushing out to take those jobs. They're not rushing out to pick fields. They're not rushing out to clean.
No, they're sitting at home collecting their $600 extra pandemic unemployment check. They're whining because they didn't get their $400 from Donald Trump. They're starting current events, podcasts. They're sitting there talking about the planters they're putting in their backyard. They're drinking their glasses of water while moderately chuckling at their podcast partner. That's what they're doing. That's America.
I feel a little attacked. I feel like that was very specific.
Really?
Real quick, before we run out of time here, I do want to hit at least one celebrity obituary this week.
There were a couple.
I mean, there were a couple, but this one I think was probably the biggest one of the week. James Harris, professional wrestling legend, also known as Kamala the Ugandan Giant, passing away at the age of 70 years old.
Wait a second. His last name is Harris?
Yes. So he is literally, he was Kamala Harris. Not to be confused with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris.
Wow.
Now,
wow!
I need to brag a little bit because, yes, I had James Harris in the Ron and Brian Death Pool, which has now rocketed me into first place in the Death Pool.
How many points?
I'm in like the 50s now.
Fucking fuck you! I swear to God, fuck you! I don't have a single fucking point. I don't have one point.
You have struggled, without a doubt. A good point that Billy brought up earlier, Brian, do you have any of the Sturgis people in your death pool? You don't. So that probably means, no one in Sturgis is probably going to die.
Does anybody, who are this? Anybody know if Tekashi 6ix9ine was at Sturgis?
You have too many people have Tekashi. I'm telling you, you have two ways to win this thing. Either Eddie Van Halen or Larry Nassar has to die.
That's ooh, really those are two good ones.
That's really where it's what it's going to come down to.
Is there anyone who has Eddie Van Halen's address? I would like to send him a couple carton of smokes.
And a nice reference from Dom. Kimchi is weeping. That's right. Kimchi was Kamala's handler during most of his career.
That is good. That's a good reference, Dom. Yes.
The funny thing is, now that he has passed away, no one really talks about how wildly racist his character was.
Yeah.
Everyone's just kind of like, all right, well, the man just passed away. He made a good living. We're just not really going to talk about that part.
It's now the time where I actually admit that at the time I could not understand how they were able to keep a unhinged African from the jungle, how they were able to keep him in society from venue to venue throughout the day without him wrecking havoc through society.
I mean, you had Kamala, you had George the Animal Steel.
I also was concerned about that.
Link was another one, and it was
who's
like
the missing Link.
He was in a world class championship wrestling. You would have had to.
The
realize,
name's familiar. Oh. No. But
he had the green face paint and the tuft of hair in the back. And you okay. Again, this was back when I believed in wrestling. And yeah, you thought who has to take care of these guys? Because they're crazy. They're from parts unknown. No one even knows where they're from.
How do they? I remember specifically with George Steele and Kamala literally sitting there being like, they're so out of control. They're so wild. Like, how do these, what do they do for the other 23 hours of the day?
Yeah, it was crazy. What else do we have? I don't want to get too much into coronavirus because we are getting towards the end here.
I think we've done enough.
Just a couple. I want to get a couple.
Because okay. All right. No, I'm with you.
It is important for people to watch when frontline workers are being harassed by people because they're trying to enforce rules. I think the general public needs to help people out. We've got two of these week. One was in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, where a teenage Chili's hostess was attacked by dining guests for enforcing social distancing policies at her restaurant. Apparently, there was a group of 13 people. Tables were limited to group of six, so even two tables of six. And so a number of people in this party of 13 broke out a can of whoop-ass on the 17-year-old hostess.
Fucking tragic.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is no one else that worked at the restaurant helped her out.
It's fucking tragic.
And then
so
also,
fucking sad.
Close to me, we do have near where I live, the country's only Sesame Street theme park, Sesame Place. Well, a couple punched a 17-year-old Sesame Place employee who asked them to wear a mask.
Fuck it. What is America?
Like, severely, apparently.
We have gone so far back. We have gone so far backwards. Like, what? Who? Why on earth would you punch a teenager working at a Chili's? That kid's just trying to put some pocket money in, like, so that they can hang out with their friends, and you're fucking punching them. It's so sad.
Well, this kid, he wasn't in character. I do have a story of a character getting beat up. This way, he actually just worked at Captain Cookie's High Seas Adventure Ride and apparently told the couple earlier in the day to wear a mask. They didn't do anything then, but they saw him later in the day and struck him in the face.
So they went back and hit him?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they stewed on it for a while and then beat him up. They were not, police were not able to, security guards, I could say, were not able to catch the couple, but they did get their license plate, surprisingly, out of New York. I can't tell you how much North Jersey and New York trash goes to visit Sesame Place.
Oh, that's what they do.
The thing, you know, again, I'm not in the hotel industry anymore, as Brian will often tell you, but back in the day, I worked at a number of hotels that did Sesame Place packages, and the lack of concern that people would have for their children was always amazing. Like, once a day, we would find an unattended child, like, in the lobby or in a in the restaurant or whatever, and be like, hey, where's your parents? And it'd be like 6 or 7 years old, and they'd be like, well, my parents went somewhere, and I'm just here to hang out. Like, how easily would it have been for someone to just kidnap that kid? And we were like a half mile from the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
How many kids do you think got kidnapped and we just don't know about?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure.
Oof. Fucking hell. And fucking Billy's hell, asking, people.
Billy's asking why I'm not in the hotel business. Again, he's crushing it with the comments these last few weeks.
It's almost like he's listening and paying attention.
Almost. But we do also have to give him props because, as he mentioned, there is a new platinum member for the Ron and Brian Patreon subscription. That would be Billy. And also, Janelle is on board at the bronze level as well. So those
awesome
subscriptions, that will be matched with a donation to the Biden Harris campaign. So once again, next 24 hours, any new subscriptions, and hell, if you are a current subscriber and you up your subscription level, not only will you get the free Ron and Brian face mask,
Ron,
we will also include you in matching the donation to the Biden Harris campaign. Am I going crazy?
You're giving our money away.
Again, we mention it all the time. We don't do this to make money. All of this goes back into the podcast, and now we're trying to have it go back into our country.
Absolutely. Wow, what a fucking depressing episode.
We will pick it up. It will be more lighthearted for the Patreon. What do we have to talk about for the Patreon? Let's see. Astros canceled national anthem singer accused of molesting my. Jeff Ross accuser speaks out on sexual misconduct. LAPD officer sued for allegedly funding corp. All right. Texas anti-vaxxers attacked with chainsaw. Listen, we'll find something, or we'll just riff. You know, maybe there'll be a good swinging story. Maybe
I'm going to get myself another beer, so we're going to get loose. Ron, I recommend it for you, too.
I'm going to drink. Brian's not even done with the podcast, and he's trying to get away from the screen. But again, we appreciate all of you joining us. Don't necessarily need to join the Patreon. Just tell two friends. Share the YouTube link or the website link with two of your friends in the next week, and we'll love you for that, because we're just trying to build the empire here. Yeah. Brian, do you have anything else before we cut out and prepare for After Dark?
Normally, I would tell you that I love you, but what I'm going to say to you now at this moment as we walk away from this episode is that not only do I love you, but I love all the people listening to us.
All right. I feel the same way. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will catch you again next week, unless you are one of our Patreon folks. If that's the case, we'll see you in about 20 minutes.